In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We celebrate today on the Feast of the Epiphany. We celebrate today one of the most unexpectedly strange feasts in the calendar. We celebrate the end of the journey of a group of ostensibly Magian priest astrologers who have followed what appears to be a star from their faraway comfortable homelands to the opulent court of a tyrant to the humble cradle of a child, and who is revealed by their beguiling gifts to be a king worthy of gold, a divinity worthy of worship with incense, and a healing sacrifice worthy of myrrh's balm. Few feasts of the church celebrate a stranger story. And perhaps it's the case that we need a strange story to meet the strangeness of the times. Two, in the midst of difficulty or challenge, and especially in the midst of the numbing drumbeat of horrors that so often is the daily news, we need this story, this strange story, to reacquaint us with a deep down wonder that is far deeper than the times. Because the real strangeness of it all isn't so much in the details of the narrative, odd though they may be, the real strangeness of the story lies in the unexpected ways that grace tends to reveal itself in the lives of human beings, the lives of poor, ordinary people like you and like I. In our readings this morning, there are at least four instances of grace doing strange and unexpected things. In the lives of the exiles of Judah, in the life of St. Paul, and the life of Herod, and in the lives of the Magi. Now in Isaiah, the prophet announces to the people of Judah something that would have seemed absurd to most of them. They're returning to Jerusalem after decades in exile, discovering there a city still in ruins, not one stone left upon another, the temple still demolished, the wounds of exile newly reopened, the familiar painfully estranged by devastation and neglect. And here is the prophet saying, "Will you look at this mess? This wasted city you loved and used to call home, desolate, do you see it? But look closer and prepare to be surprised, because God is going to do something amazing with your shattered hopes and dreams. God is going to send brightness into darkness. God is going to lift up this desolation and make of it a place of such abundance and wonder that the nations will stream to it in awe. Those you thought lost will stream to it in awe, and everyone will find their home, their joy, their bliss here, because light is dawning here, exactly where you are. And you will shine brighter than you ever thought you could. So stand up, arise. Your despair is not the end of this story. Stand up. Your darkness is about to end. Stand up. We've a city, a community to build, to bear God's fire to the world. Out of the ashes, out of dead cities, dead ends, dead dreams, and exile, grace unexpectedly brings forth hope and breathes new life. What in you aches for new life, for hope's revival or return? Well, stand up. Lift up your eyes. Your light is coming. In Ephesians, Paul talks about his mission to the Gentiles, and it's clear that the idea that God would accept the Gentiles into the family of God is still an amazingly strange idea that still strikes Paul with wonder. He calls it a mystery. Who could have guessed that God was that gracious? That God desired all people to be part of God's household? That God loved all people? That grace was for all people. It is stunning. It is life-changing. None of the old categories and divisions make sense. Grace unexpectedly finds a way to destroy every division, to make every them an us, every you a we. How might we imagine those who are on the outside, the them, the other? How might we imagine them on the inside of God's grace? Well, stand up, lift up your eyes. Prepare for dawning light by which you will see the mystery of love at work in all people. Herod, too, receives the light of grace by the testimony of the Magi. He receives it and he refuses it. He is oriented towards his own worldly power, his own kingdom, and the idea that there's another king suddenly on the scene is deeply troubling to him. He thinks he has a rival in the newborn Jesus, that the King of Kings, the Lord of all the worlds, envies Herod's tiny throne, that the Eternal One craves a temporal kingdom. In the dawning light, he sees his end. And he cannot recognize in it the end of all and anything in him opposed to love, the end of death in him, the beginning in him of a new life of love, and he clings more tightly to his throne, to his power, the brightness of which is like the eerie phosphorescent lure of some needle-toothed monstrosity from the ocean's dark and ancient depths. He makes his choice for that monstrosity, for the deadly glow of empire, and he will seek to kill Jesus. But in that, he will prove himself just the first of us, who will all one day shout, "Crucify him," when we behold the King of Love in purple rags, thorn-crowned, pain-racked, and broken. But even then, this one who in his audacious love for us entrusted himself to our feeble care as a feeble infant, who submitted himself to our parodies of justice and fruitlessly appealed to our compassion from the terrible tree on which he hung, even then, this one, our Lord, will not lift a finger to wrest from us our misapprehended power of death until he submits himself in love completely to death, in order to undo it completely from the inside, and rise from the dead to offer us, poor, murderous children of wrath, the fullness of his forgiveness, his love, his own divine life. On what deadliness are we still fastened? By what powers of sin and death are we still ensorcelled or enthralled? Well, stand up. Lift up your eyes. Prepare for the light of God to dispossess you of the death to which you cling and make you an inheritor of a life too vast to possess, but that will in fact possess you and shine through you with an incomprehensible brightness of joy. Finally, we come to the revelation of grace to the Magi. Now, we know little of their story, little of their real identity, but given the name of Magi, they were likely Magian priests of the Zoroastrian religion who likely kindled and tended the sacred fires of that religion and offered sacrifices as well. Whoever and whatever they were, though, they were foreigners, outsiders, the Gentile other. But they saw the light of a distant star and they followed it. Think of that for a moment. In the course of their everyday lives, the course of their duties, in the midst of a usual night's usual darkness, they saw a strange little unexpected pinprick of light. I don't imagine it was as huge or significant looking as so many images portray it, but its bigness is less important than this. It was new. And however bright, the Magi saw it, noticed it, and understood it to herald something, a new something. They wanted to know what it meant, and they oriented themselves to it, which is to say, they didn't just follow it, they allowed the light to change them. They made room in their lives for this little pinprick of newness in the hope that it would one day blaze up in them and transfigure them. They came to Jerusalem expecting to discover a newborn king, a newborn something in the capital city of Judea, where naturally such a king would be born. And imagine how perplexed they were in the midst of Herod's palace to discover that the new thing they sought wasn't there after all. That fear reigned in the palace. That the good news of a new king was met with suspicion rather than wonder. Imagine how disappointed they might have felt. That perhaps the light had uprooted them and enticed them and sent them on a fool's errand after all. They remained oriented. They followed the light to a poor hovel at which, our gospel says, they were overwhelmed with joy. I would like to think for two reasons. Their journey had ended, yes, having found that for which they sought, but I think, too, their apprenticeship to the light, their habit of following the light, learning the way of the light, walking in its path, had accustomed them to setting aside their own expectations, preferring the light's way to theirs. And I think their joy flowed from their wonder at the depths of the light's wisdom. That here no fear-plagued palace, but a very humble dwelling, a simple house. Here was something new indeed. Here was the revelation of the grace that lifts up the lowly, that scatters the proud, that feeds the hungry, that welcomes the stranger, that defends the poor and the widow, that overturns the world and topples empires. Here was the God who longs for people so deeply that he became human in order to draw them more closely into his own divine heart. Here was the fullness of the transfiguring light to which they sought to give themselves. Here was an overwhelming fullness of joy. Here, enthroned in the seat of wisdom, the lap of his holy mother was not just the king of one people, but the king of every heart, demanding no homage by force or suasion, but compelling worship by little more than the giddy goodness of his smile, by the depthless oceans of love spilling out in laughing, happy tears to see his friends, his family, newly arrived at their journey's end, newly arrived at their life's beginning and knowing themselves in him and through him for the first time as the friends and family of God. Where might new pinpricks of light appear in the midst of our dark night skies? Are we noticing? Are we ready to be oriented to the brightness of God's dawning? Are we ready to be given to and transfigured by the light of love, the light of Jesus Christ? Are we ready to leave our comfortable places for the sake of the mystery of love into which God desires to transform us? Well, stand up. Lift up your eyes. Even now, the breaking light is calling you away from fear, away from death, and into its own heart of wonder and joy. Beloved, your light is coming. From places you thought dead and hopeless, your light is coming. From unexpected places and people, your joy is coming. From pinpricks of light new shining in the darkness, your light, your joy is coming. So stand up, lift up your eyes, lift up your hearts. The Son of Righteousness desires to dawn from the depths of your own life. The strange grace of God desires to reveal itself in you. Will you receive it? Will you be transfigured by love and overwhelmed by joy? Will you follow the day star to love's simple home? All the way to the depths of your being, the ground of your soul, will you shine with love's redeeming grace in the midst of this world's present darkness? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.